Well, there you are, and welcome back to Redemption's Table in the final week of March 2023. I want to begin today a little different by listening to a song in its entirety. The song is Lean Into It by singer-songwriter Jay Lind. Let's give it a listen.
Somehow I feel much older now. The sweat caught in my mouth has lost its salt. Slow down, it's time to spit it out. And if the fates allow, sing their song. When the sun is strong, when the land is dry, when the dance don't work, when the crops all die, when the sun is strong, man, lean into it. I feel a rod caught in past, I sing along. When the sun is strong, when the land is dry, when the dance don't work, when the crops all die, when the sun is strong, man, lean into it. When the rain comes down, when the wood won't take, when the lights go out and the
Thank you, Jay, for sharing your music with us here at the table. That is close to being my favorite Jay Lind song. It's a tie between Lean Into It and the song we heard last week, So It Goes. I want to encourage you to check out all of Jay's music wherever you listen to music. Jay just released a brand new song last week, The Potter and the Clay. So go check him out and give him a listen. That's Jay Lind, the letter J, and then capital L-I-N-D, Jay Lind. And again, thanks, Jay, for writing such beautiful music and for sharing it with us here at the table. Since February 22nd, many of our listeners have observed the season of Lent. The season of Lent is a time where Christ followers reflect on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Next week, the first full week of April, is Holy Week in the Christian Church. And next Thursday's episode will draw attention to Jesus' final week here on earth before his crucifixion. We will examine the Garden of Gethsemane. Lent is also a season which often identifies with sacrifice, sorrow, and brokenness. It is a desert season. Now, on any given week, today's episode would be timely. In the past few days, our hearts have been stunned once again by what took place in Nashville, Tennessee on Monday. Over the weekend, tornadoes literally blew entire communities off the map in the state of Mississippi. Just a few weeks back, there was an earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and the war on Ukraine reached to the one-year mark. Not a single day has gone by where I'm not praying for someone who has just recently lost a wife, a husband, a father, a mother. It seems we live in a world of continual Lent and lament. So today I want to share three brief essays that I wrote when I was going through a season of grief over 10 years ago. These are three among many essays I wrote at that time, and they were only shared back then through Facebook. Occasionally, I might share one of them wherever I am invited to speak. First, I will share When Prayer Becomes Breath. Second, I will read A Warning to Jesus on His Last Night on Earth. And finally, I will close with Epic. And especially bear in mind, these words were written 10 years ago. Plus, I was amazed at how they segue right into J. Lynn's song, written in 2021, Lean Into It, which we will listen to the final half of that song again on our way out. So thank you for being here. We begin with When Prayer Becomes Breath. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That is a tall order, and one that has entered several of my conversations of late. We wonder how such is even possible. I have found it not only possible, but probable. The Roman writing scene from the John Wayne Western Rio Grande vividly displays how most of us attempt to live our lives. In that movie, cavalrymen Ben Johnson and Harry Carey Jr. each take two bareback horses, place one foot on the back of each of their mounts, and stand up at a full gallop while riding and jumping obstacles. It is a glorious display of horsemanship. And this is how most of us attempt to run the race set before us, with one foot firmly planted in the world and the other firmly planted upon God. We blaze through life attempting this incredible feat of balance. That we ever manage to pull it off for even a few seconds is mere illusion. Usually, more weight is placed upon what we can do for ourselves. As long as we imagine we are in control, we don't really need sovereign. Until the world's horse stumbles, and it always will. Until the world's horse pitches us headlong into an arroyo full of cactus, while God's horse moves steadily along, dragging us like a plow across the desert floor. At that moment, we learn ceaseless prayer. All of us have had moments like that. A sudden emergency, an ambulance ride, a delay between doctor's suspicion and test results, a violent circumstance, unexpected trauma, reversal of fortune, tailspin, crash and burn, panic prayer kicks down the stall of our prayer barn where casual, sleepy conversations with Abba once took place. No one goes through the valley of the shadow without talking God's ears off. The conversation usually lasts until the crisis is past. 5 minutes, 10 days, 6 weeks. My longest stretch of panic prayer lasted 9 months, and it has been followed by a season of slower-paced prayer that is yet to end. On February 9th, 2013, I recorded the following prayer in my journal. It seems I truly pray to you without ceasing. Prayer has become like breathing to me. I do not have to stop and remind myself to inhale and exhale. I just do. Nor do I have to stop and remind myself to pray. I wouldn't think of entering a day without listening to God right now. I couldn't handle a day without doing so. Prayer is breath. It is as important as air, moisture, sustenance, and relationship. It tunes our heart to become the kingdom. It keeps us in contact with the only one who knows the best path for today. It is heavenly oxygen ventilated straight into momentary hell. It spurs us to instantly intercede for the latest victim of a bucking horse world. It shouldn't take tragedy for us to engage in such privilege of grace. But if that is what life brings for us to crave a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, ain't it good to know the Father's life-giving kiss is only a prayer away? Reading number 2. A warning to Jesus on his last night on earth. You've been had. Jesus, I cannot help but wonder if somewhere during the course of the longest night of your life, you felt like you'd been had. One of your entourage had already sold you out and was leading a pack of temple bloodhounds to Eden's respite. Another of your own had been informed he would turn chicken and fly the coop by rooster's dawn. Now 8 rest easy on the garden's outer fringe, and your 3 most trusted can't even keep their eyes open. And what are you doing? You're agonizing. You're sweating bullets of blood. You're hashing it out with your heavenly Father, and I cannot help but wonder if the thought ever coagulated in your brain, God, I've been had. I'm about to take the fall for the fall. I'm about to be made the curse for thousands who will never give a damn. To imagine these thoughts as your own, Jesus, comes as no surprise to me. They have congealed in my mind often through the years. I've been strung up by the lynch mob of church Pharisees 1 too many times. I've been abandoned for speaking your word and doing your will. I can identify with the words of St. Teresa of Avila. Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, then it is no wonder you have so few of them. Son of God, you've been had. These words gain greater credence with just one look at a modern American church. I wonder how often the casual singing of, though none go with me, I still will follow, made you want to throw up in your mouth. Our churches bear as little resemblance to the bride of Christ as virtual centerfolds do to real husbands and wives. And as our culture grows increasingly hostile to those who are your followers, I cannot help but catch myself siding with them. They are more honest than we are, because they see the hypocrisy within us when we don't. And the truth is, they're not lashing out at you, Jesus. They're lashing out at us who feign transformation to you while remaining conformed to this world. Yes, Jesus, you've been had. And so have all who genuinely follow you. But the most jaw-dropping revelation of all is you knew you'd been had. You knew what it was going to cost you, and you still said, not my will, God, but yours be done. Thank you for your willingness to be a chump for my sake. The words of the song Jesus in New Orleans are so true. But when I least expect it, here and there I see my Savior's face. He's still my favorite loser. falling for the entire human race. Reading number 3. Epic. Sometimes God's silence is epic. A quiet so hard, whatever goes on around it pounds like thunder off granite. The suction of the feet of Canaan's children in the mud of Pharaoh's brickyard. The raking of shard across skin on an ash heap adrift in the land of Uz. The absorption of blood into wood in the scathe of noonday sun. The seeming silence of God. Like a holy hush drenched in southern humidity. Like being waterboarded with molasses. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Most of us have been there. A few choose to dwell. It is an easy place to get stuck. Calendars have no meaning when God's voice disappears in a vacuum. God's omniscience as to when he plans to make his next announcement is not a luxury he chooses to share. This quiet is the stuff that faith is made of. Faith and patience and hope. And it's a reminder of back when God was chatty. Back when you couldn't get him to stop talking. Back when perhaps you were too distracted to listen. The truth is, God never stops talking to us, never. His written word remains even when our heart grows numb. In these pages, we rediscover how seasons of silence are the breeding ground for exodus, redemption, and resurrection. Showers of blessing after droughts of stillness. And the promise of Jesus in John 10:27 that his sheep would know his voice is an equal assurance that he will continue to have something to say. So the next time you get braced by God's unsettling shush, consider it an invitation from him to be still and relearn who he is, Psalm 46:10. And as his epic unfolds around you, lean long into his breast of love. I promise you, in time, you will hear music resonating from his embrace, Zephaniah 3:17, and the gentle breath of the only one who never leaves.
When the sun is strong, when the land is dry, when the dance don't work, when the crops all die, when the sun is